Calling the Economic Development Trade and Tourism Committee to order, and thank you for the A-team for being here to assist us. For the record, we have Representative Pruitt, Representative Herron, Representative Johnson, Representative Gaddis, Representative Drummond, and myself, Representative Hughes, in attendance. We have two resolutions we're going to take up, and we're going to move along at a pretty good clip. So we're starting with HCR 6, unmanned aircraft, and I just want to call to your attention, this is from the presentation that retired Air Force Brigadier General Roe Bailey did the other day. If you weren't here, it's worth looking at. It was a fabulous presentation. And before we get started, I want to ask that the CS be adopted. So,
Madam Chair, I move to adopt a committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 6. The U version, uniform version, with a zero fiscal note.
And hearing no objection, it's adopted. And I'm going to call up my staff, Ginger Blaisdell, to discuss the changes. Oh, she's already there. Go ahead, Ginger, introduce yourself.
The N version is the CS.
What's that?
The N version is the CS.
Oh, the N version. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, for the record, my name is Ginger Blaisdell. I'm staff to Representative Hughes. So last week on Thursday, right after the presentation by Roe Bailey, she and I worked through the resolution that was originally drafted. And we basically just did some simple cleanups, corrected a couple of titles, and reordered it so that it read a little bit more fluidly. So the first few whereas, you'll notice they call it the program, the Unmanned Aircraft Systems Program. It took about 9 years before they actually were recognized by the Board of Regents as a center for unmanned aircraft systems integration. And so a little bit further down, you'll see that they actually are then renamed the center, and we call it the center after that. One of the results is that we do realize that there may need to be some additional review on rules or guidelines for use of unmanned aircraft. And therefore, the legislature is requesting approval to establish a task force. And we selected about 15 members on the task force. Most of them are in the aeronautic industry, whether they're private or a government group. And then we also have commissioners or their designee from a number of other agencies that have been using unmanned aircraft. And the task force would present a preliminary report January of 2014 and a final report of recommendations in January of 2015.
Are there any questions for Ginger? Okay, seeing no questions, we'll move into public testimony. And we have, I need the sheet, but I know we have Steve Culligan online, so we'll start with Steve.
We're good.
Okay. So, Steve, are you online? Will you introduce yourself, please? And I'm going to ask, because we're on a very tight schedule, if you would keep your testimony to 1 to 2 minutes, each of you. Thank you. Steve, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So thank you for allowing me to testify. I'm just testifying quickly in support of this. I forwarded a letter, which I'll spare you the reading of that in long form, but I, in short, am testifying this for a little bit different reasons than maybe some of the others that have possibly done presentations. I'm coming at this from the grassroots perspective, even though I'm a graduate of UAF, own a professional technology firm, and in the mapping business. I've also been involved in model airplanes since I was a young man and grew up in Fairbanks. There are attachments to my presentation or my testimony that might be of quite of interest. Academy of Model Aeronautics, which has been around for more than 75 years, a self-regulating, self-insured organization, has been following this type of legislation for many years now. And I put some printouts and some links of their website where they track each state by state of pending legislation or the current status of that legislation and the like. But in short, I would encourage you to pass this legislation. as a responsible way to ferret out all of the rulemaking by the FAA and others and come up with some real legislation to support this activity. The reason I'm calling based on model aviation is that when it comes to UAVs, UAS, unmanned aerial systems, and model aviation, the reality is they're similar, no difference other than the aspect of are you or are you not being paid for the activity that you're doing. Both the University of Alaska, Fairbanks, and myself as a private individual and business owner buy off-the-shelf products and integrate them into aerial mapping systems, et cetera. But we're also very active in the model aviation community when it comes to education at the junior high and high school level in our STEM programs, both NASA and Academy of Model Aeronautics have programs that our local communities are using and getting young people excited about the technology and technology development. I will draw your attention. I made an attachment of the portions of the 75-year AMA history, and on page 4 there's a history of AMA, and quite interesting to this discussion we have today is the first several paragraphs refer to the same discussion in 1910 where the Model Aero Club was formed to promote and study the problems of aeronautics as demonstrated by model and to regulate the control of models and contests in the United States. Very similar to what's going on now, but at a larger level, but always concerned about the integration with general aviation activity and traffic.
Steve, could you please wrap it up?
Okay, so I'm just asking that you support this legislation as a responsible way to promote some well-thought-out rules and testing and allow the FAA to publish and us to be able to integrate within the state of Alaska and kind of take the lead in this regard. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Interesting to note the repeat in history from 1910. Appreciate it. I want you to be aware we also have Roe Bailey online if there are questions. And next we have Lisa Herbert with the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. Lisa, identify yourself, please, for the record, and proceed and try to keep it to 1 to 2 minutes.
I sure will. Good afternoon, Chairman Hughes and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lisa Herbert, and I'm the Executive Director for the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. Our organization represents over 700 businesses and organizations throughout the interior, and as you know, our primary purpose is business advocacy, but additionally, one of our ongoing priorities each year is to increase the military presence in Alaska by promoting all that our great state has to offer to the Department of Defense. The Chamber submitted, or just earlier today, actually a letter of support for House Concurrent Resolution Number 6, and we believe that Alaska's immense land mass and associated air mass presents opportunities no other state can offer for testing and flight training. Thus, existing military operations and expansive ground maneuver areas can easily support virtually all military applications for current and future UAS technology, and military UAS infrastructure can only complement civilian and commercial operations. The University of Alaska has led the way for research on unmanned aircraft systems and continues its pioneer work in its bid to become one of the nation's 6 test sites for aircraft systems testing and research. At UAF alone, they have brought in over $4.5 million, and as a result, 3 companies have started operating here in Alaska. We feel this resolution recognizes substantial effort for the university, and more significantly, it establishes a legislative task force to address potential economic benefits of unmanned aircraft systems for our state. As with any new technology, a myriad of concerns must be addressed before unmanned aircraft can become a common fixture in our national airspace. This resolution takes the necessary steps to begin addressing those concerns to ensure Alaska leads the way for this transformative and dynamic flight environment. So on behalf of the Chamber's Board of Directors and membership, thank you for the opportunity to comment here today. And I believe that letter of support was transmitted down to your office just prior to the start of this committee meeting. And thank you for all that you all are doing on behalf of the state of Alaska.
And thank you, Lisa. And we'll move next to Stuart Thompson. Stuart, introduce yourself, please, for the record.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, I am Stuart Thompson of District 10, a private Alaskan citizen and voter. I'm here to testify concerning HCR 6 under the dominant authority of Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Sections 1 and 2. With the permission of the chairman, I have timed 2.5-minute testimony. Start of testimony. This resolution needs work before you pass it out. It is typical of district special interest legislation. I've worked seasonally in Fairbanks before to know. The sponsors have not thought it through, and it comes off as another parroted propaganda resolution. Please recall the embarrassing example of the one in 2002 that supported President Bush's manufactured justifications to go to war in Iraq. Now, I do wholeheartedly support establishing a task force to recommend state and federal regulation of unmanned aircraft systems. But it is dumb and unethical not to balance all the special interests currently placed on the task force with actual public representation, such as people with constitutionally driven interests from, for example, the Interior Alaska Conservative Coalition and the ACLU. Get real, please. The current task force membership are not fully competent by legal definition to advise on citizen privacy, openly admitted to be an issue. On that note, I testify that the following section of the resolution is blatantly false. Whereas unmanned aircraft systems may present a substantial risk to privacy, but neither the Federal Aviation Administration nor any other state or federal agency currently has specific statutory authority to regulate privacy matters relating to unmanned aircraft systems. The sponsors overlook that constitutions are supreme statutory authority, clearly demonstrating the legitimacy of Representative Wes Keller's Constitutional History Curriculum Bill now before the Senate Judiciary. Alaska Constitution Article 1, Section 14, Searches and Seizures, and 22, Right of Privacy, already regulate the use of unmanned aircraft in conducting population surveillance. In a word, not at all without a properly issued warrant. The sponsors also appear to ignore the U.S. Constitution's Fourth Amendment that covers the same thing. Next, the U.S. Constitution's Third Amendment, if given the same legal development that the Commerce Clause enjoyed, would establish that privacy is the protected right, not just mere protection from forced support of military logic. Americans have been continually forced to support the quartering of soldiers through taxes, so the issue addressed by the Third Amendment cannot be an economic one. However, unrestricted quartering of soldiers in private homes is the simplest low-tech method of government surveillance of its population possible. This makes unregulated high-tech surveillance just as unconstitutional, regardless of occasional benefits obtained.
Stuart, it's been 2.5 minutes. Could you wrap up, please?
Yes. This resolution, as written, starts another end run around our Constitution that you swore to uphold and defend. Please direct it back to the sponsors for substantial correction, or address my concerns in a committee work session. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your concerns, and we'll take them under consideration. We're going to move to the room at this point. Luke Hopkins.
Madam Chair, just for the record, the script said the U version, but we're working on November version.
Thank you, Representative Herron. Luke, introduce yourself, please.
Yes, thank you very much. Luke Hopkins, the mayor of Fairbanks North Star Borough and a signing partner for the University of Alaska Fairbanks unmanned aircraft systems program that they are submitting to be one of the six test centers under the FAA. And to that point, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, as is in their in the resolution for the agreement, is undertaking on its own behalf and at its own cost legislative efforts to participate in the proposal effort and post-selection activities as a member of the applicant's team. We have funding that we've set aside for that. I submitted a letter in full support of the expansion of J-PARC for that aspect that includes unmanned aerial vehicles, both for the Army and the Air Force. One thing I would speak to on this committee substitute, if I may, quickly, is that I'm also the president of the Alaska Conference of Mayors, and I would ask that a local elected representative be added to this membership of the task force. And that's been done before, and I think it's been very, very beneficial. I've been our community's been a member of the Alaska Municipal League for many, many, many years. I think that there would be benefit to that. So to save time, we are a partner. I am a partner. Sign the agreement. Just ask for you to consider that piece of adding a local elected official there. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mayor Hopkins. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And next we have Teresa, and I think it's Wolstad, but she can correct me. Oh, she has decided that she will not be testifying. And so is there anyone else in the room who wishes to testify? Okay, with that, we'll close public testimony. Is there discussion? Anyone remarks? I just would like to speak to the one who testified regarding the privacy concerns, that this resolution was actually introduced because that was brought to my attention. And so we certainly want to uphold the Constitution, and there are things that do address privacy in that, and the part of this process and not to is not to rush something through that we'll have to go back and fix. And we definitely, the privacy concerns are of utmost importance, and we do want to have good policy at the state level, and we do want to uphold the Constitution. So I hope that I would be happy to have a conversation and would welcome a conversation with Stuart, don't recall the last name at the moment, at
Thompson
after this meeting. I would welcome that. So are there other remarks? Representative Gaddis.
Yes, and I would like to speak positively towards this joint resolution, because what I see it doing is there's a lot of discussion back and forth in regards to unmanned aircraft, remote control airplanes, and in general aviation, how that's going to affect. So I like the fact that we're going to get together and try to work out those details before it comes into full effect. So as member of general aviation, I'm very interested in how we're all going to work together. So I think this is a good work.
Thank you, Representative Gaddis. And just as a reminder, as one of those who testified, that this same similar conversation took back in the early 1900s. So, Representative Drummond, did you have a comment?
Yes, I do, Matt. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Mr. Colligan's testimony a few minutes ago, particularly linking this kind of technology to our school districts and the STEM, the science, technology, and engineering and math, and keep it going through the whole system right on up through university level and professionally. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. And I just, for those that were not present when the presentation last Thursday, we learned all about how unmanned aircraft are being harnessed for good. And so I just want to remind everyone that that's the direction. We want to harness this for good and at the same time to address privacy concerns. So that is what this is about. So what is the will of Representative Higgins?
I just have a question. The resolution, you know, where does it go to from here?
The
rules.
The resolution will go from here to the floor to be voted on. Then it needs to go over to the Senate, and then when if with the hope that it passes,
go beyond that point.
It will go.
The governor or what? Where does it
yes,
to?
Yes, it goes to the governor, and it is a resolution, so it's not binding. But the hope is that the recognition of the need to work on this subject matter will take place, and that actually.
So I guess follow up a little bit, because what I'm trying to get at here is that the very fast further resolve that public members of the task force serve without compensation but are entitled to per diem and travel expenses authorized for boards and commissions. So I guess we'll get back to that point later on down the road. Is that what we're saying? Eventually, if this resolution from the governor decides he wants to incorporate a task force, I mean, when do we get to that point?
That is correct. We could talk about it going to the Finance Committee prior, and we can have that discussion, but at this point, is not referred to the Finance Committee.
Right, because it's just a resolution, I understand that. But eventually, it's going to turn into a statute of some sort, so we're going to have to address that issue. Eventually,
it won't turn into a statute by this piece of legislation.
No, I understand that. Okay. I'm just saying I want everyone to understand where this is headed. So,
okay, thank you. Are there further comments, Representative Pruitt?
No, I'll probably just to clarify, it will not go to the governor. Actually, there's not that we're going to create this within the legislature is where this task force is going to be created. So, this will be part of the legislative budget. We will actually fund this through the legislative let funds that we have in the legislature. If I understand reading this appropriately, I think, because the governor's not doesn't have to sign this thing, we're creating it as a task force amongst ourselves. I may be wrong on that, but I think it's one of those that's pretty much already included in another budget where we don't have to have an additional finance. It's either, if even if it was paid for through boards and commissions, it's with their own, it's not going to add to it. Otherwise, they probably would have put a finance on it.
That's kind of where I was getting at. Where's the funds at?
It's included in others, but then I think it's also important. The statute is very important. We're just creating a task force for the next year and a half or something like that. The statute is a discussion that comes later, and the costs associated with that are totally separate from just creating this task force. So maybe I didn't clear it up. I think there's more to come. This is not the end, the final, and we can have those talks out.
Okay.
Here, so.
Thank you, Representative Pruitt, for clarifying that. Appreciate it. So no further remarks then? So what is the will of the committee?
Madam Chair, you wish a motion to move from the committee?
And
do you
wish? Yes, I do.
Madam Chair, I move that the CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 6, November version, be moved from committee with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. And hearing no objections, so moved. And we'll take a couple minutes to sign the file while we have folks present, and we'll move quickly though into the next resolution. But while we're signing, I would ask if Mike Cern, who's the director of ASME, would like to come and give a couple minute report on the Boston Seafood Show that he attended last week. International Boston Seafood Show.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I just wanted to take the opportunity to introduce myself as the new executive director at Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. We had an opportunity to speak with the committee earlier in the session, but unfortunately I was out of town, so you heard from our communications director, Tyson Fick. So I ran into Representative Tarr to function last week. She thought you might be interested in a quick report on how things went at the International Boston Seafood Show last week. That seafood show is the largest in North America, with about 1,000 exhibitors and probably over 20,000 people attending that show. There were 22 booths from companies that are either based in or do business in Alaska, and I spoke with many of them, and everyone said that the show was an unmitigated success. Sales were up, throughput, you know, the number of people coming by their booths were up, and everybody had a very successful show. I just spoke with one of the small processors up in Anchorage this morning, and he said he's concerned about being able to fill all the orders that he took in Boston. You know, some of the larger processors that do business here in Alaska, Trident, Icicle, Peter Pan, Ocean Beauty, all had very good things to say about the show. So it was a success from our standpoint at ASME as well. All of my program directors were there. The international folks got several trade leads to distribute to the seafood processors up here. Decided to do some promotional work in Ukraine, Russia, Brazil, China, and Japan as a result of the show. The food service folks scored a cover of a food magazine and a feature article. Also, some new restaurant accounts to do some promotions of Alaska seafood. Same thing on the retail side. Several supermarket chains met with our retail director and have agreed to do some Alaska seafood promotion. So, you know, I heard lots of comments from people that were there that it was the best show in years. So that's what I wanted to pass along to you, and in addition to introducing myself and letting you know that ASME's there as a resource for you if you need us, and the door's always open. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cern. We appreciate that brief report, and thanks for your work. And now we'll move to House Joint Resolution 12, and it is number 28LS0619 version A, encouraging the manufacture of firearms and firearms accessories in the state. And Representative Chenault will speak to the bill. Welcome, Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And for the record, Mike Chenault, Representative District 28 on the Kenai Peninsula. Madam Chairman, I won't drone on about this piece of legislation. But House Joint Resolution 12 encourages and invites gun and gun accessory manufacturers to bring their business to Alaska. As we've seen over the last few months, there are a number of states considering the enactment of legislation not only restricting or prohibiting the possession or manufacturing of certain firearms or accessories. We feel it is imperative that not only the administration but the legislature let it be known that we would welcome them in our state. Our excellent constitutional and statutory protections for firearm use, possession, and manufacturing makes Alaska an ideal place for firearm and accessory manufacturers to relocate their businesses to our state. As you will see in the resolution, Madam Chairman and committee members, there is a rather large list of different manufacturers that represent major weapon and accessory folks, and we just think that it's a good idea. I just heard here recently that there's a number of businesses that are looking at relocating out of Colorado because of some of the changes that they're looking at making, and we just feel Alaska is a great place to have them. So, Madam Chairman, with that, any questions or concerns, myself and my staff will try to answer them for you.
Thank you, Representative Schnault. Members, do you have any questions? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I understand we could have page after page after page of manufacturers, but I'm wondering if it wouldn't be prudent to go ahead and add Magpul onto this, since they are the ones who are looking at to send them a copy of this resolution, since they are the manufacturer in Colorado that is thinking about moving to get them a copy of this resolution. I know we've already corresponded with them by letter. And I'd also like to suggest we put the National Assembly of Sportsmen's Caucuses. I remember that several of us are part of it, just to kind of let them informed what the state's doing. Would you have any problem with that as an amendment, Mr. Speaker?
Representative Johnson, through the chair, certainly we would welcome any additions to the list that we have put together. Since that list was put together, as you said, Magpul and others have they're not deliberating whether they're going to move out of Colorado. They've actually said that they will move out of Colorado.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an opportunity, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, and we certainly would welcome any additions to that list.
With Representative Johnson, would
Madam
you
Chair,
like
I would
offer?
Like the conceptual amendment to add Magpul, and it's M-A-G-P-U-L, to the list of people receiving this, and the National Assembly of Sportsmen's Caucuses as well.
Okay, I'll object for the purpose of discussion. Are there any comments from the committee on that?
Can I? Well,
Representative Pruitt?
Any benefit to adding maybe like the NRA or someone? I'm trying to think someone who'd have a database to which we could, you know, as a national database, so that if we happen to miss one or two people on here, they would maybe be able to access it?
Go ahead, Tom.
Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Schnault, through the chair of Representative Pruitt. This list is pretty extensive. These are the major manufacturers from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and they have a rather extensive list. And when I talked to them, they gave us the major manufacturers and you know, major accessory manufacturers. So that's where this list came from.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, the word is going to get out, basically.
Madam Chairman, Representative Pruitt will be asking the NSS F to post it on their website.
Very good. Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Any further comments? All right, I'll remove my objection. And are there the conceptual amendment Representative Johnson offered is adopted? And are there any other amendments or any further discussion? And what is the will of the committee? Representative Johnson?
Madam Chair, I would move House Joint Resolution 12 out of committee as amended with zero physical notes and individual recommendations.
And seeing no objections, so moved. Thank you, members, for attendance today. I want to remind you that your offices, we do need to know about the June trip, the tour of Alaska, so please get back with Ginger on that. We'd appreciate it. And I'll just I didn't have any, there wasn't anybody for public testimony, so we were good there. I just want to make the point that people realize that's why we didn't open public testimony. So thank you, Representative Chenault.
Thanks,
and thank you, members of the committee, and we will adjourn at, there's a reflection on that, so I can't quite see it. We'll adjourn at 12:10. Thank you.